Welcome, everybody. It's Dora, the Real Estate Explorer, Dora Seiler, coming to you from Central Florida, where I am a realtor, and I work for Prestige Property Shop, and today is my inaugural podcast, and thank you very much. You won't even be able to tell that it's our first time because I'm being professionally produced today. Thanks to my assistant, Lee. Anyway, so part of my job, I love educating my customers, and I've always said that I might write a book. In lieu of that, I'm going to do a podcast because it's quicker. But I wanted to start off with, do you know the difference between a real estate agent and a realtor?
I do not.
Let me tell you. I'm glad you don't.
I know a lot. I don't know this.
Okay, so let me tell you. A real estate agent is a licensed agent in the state that they're doing business, and they can write contracts and they can do all things real estate, either residential or commercial usually. A realtor is someone who owns a license to practice real estate, but they're also a member of the National Real Estate Association. So hence the designation realtor. There's an extra membership fee for that. We're held to a higher standard. We have an additional code of ethics.
Now, does either one clean cat litter boxes?
Both do, okay. I believe, and okay. have, and I have. Yes. I have done that, which is why you probably brought that up. I have. That's a topic day in the life of a realtor, and it's realtor, not realtor, which is so much easier to say, realtor. But that's not...
It's an extra syllable. Why would it be easier?
I don't know. It's just easier, but it's incorrect. It is realtor. So if you ever have the opportunity, and you should always use a realtor, whether you're buying or selling, that is how you say it, realtor. So anyways, over the course of my podcast, which will be coming to you every week, we're going to talk all things real estate. Everything from poop in the septic tanks to funny stories that I've experienced over my career, like other agents doing inappropriate activity while showing a house, inspection nightmares, staging, lending, interest rates, all things real estate.
I always found it amusing that a septic tank company named Brownies. That's amusing to me.
But you remembered it.
I did remember.
It's clever.
It is clever.
It's clever.
Yeah. I saw a guy one time pumping my septic tank eating a sandwich.
They don't even wash their hands. They don't wash their hands.
Hey, that's derogatory.
No. I've seen them. I've seen them many times because I'm, of course, always present at my inspections, even the smelly inspections. And it's pretty smelly, I got to tell you. But it's the only way to do a proper septic inspection. But I have seen them touch that equipment, crawl down in there to check a pump, and then they write up the invoice. Okay, but I'm just saying that's a show that we'll do called Talking Shit. But
hey.
Today we're not going to talk shit.
Whoa. Oh. Wow.
Today we're going to talk about inspection nightmares. Always, 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 I recommend buyers do a home inspection. Cost between $300 to $700 depending on the inspection because it's all a la carte. You can get a home inspection. You can get a termite inspection. You can get a wind mitigation inspection. You can get inspections on your pool, on your well.
Does one guy do
septic.
It all?
No.
Okay.
No.
So separate. Okay.
No. One guy does not do it all. And so... It just depends on the type of house that you're buying.
So I'm buying a house, and obviously you recommend as an agent, you need an inspection.
I would give you the name of several.
Several that then I can
and
choose.
And then you can choose.
And
exactly.
You know which guys you think do a better job, because they're supposed to check every outlet, but some don't.
Some are better than others, for sure. And as a buyer, you want an inspector that's going to... Be very thorough. Check every outlet. Check windows that they open and close. Crawl on the attic. Crawl on the roof. Get under the house if there's a crawl space. And a lot of inspectors won't do that. Look for termites. Look for carpenter ants. Look for rodents. Stains on the roof. Everything.
But they don't care about your paint and floor coverings and carpet. They don't worry about that.
Well, those are considered cosmetic imperfections, and they might note them. They might say, you know, the carpet is fraying, the carpet is loose, the carpet needs to be stretched. But they will tell you things like the wood floors seem to be warped because there has been a previous leak. That would be considered important.
And what about appliances like refrigerator, stoves? He checks all that stuff?
Absolutely. They run the dishwasher. They look under the sink for piping. Polybutylene piping is a big imperfection that we deal with here in Central Florida. There's electrical panels that the insurance companies don't want to insure. In fact, there's four of them that they don't want to insure. Roofs are a big deal here in Florida as well, Lee, because of all the hurricanes that we've had. Hence, a wind mitigation inspection and report, which could cost about $100, $125, but save you hundreds and hundreds of dollars every year on your homeowner's insurance.
Now, as far as a roof's concerned, though, if that could be either part of the deal, somebody, let's say the seller replaces it, or because some financing, they won't allow you to buy this house without a new roof, correct? Or will they let you put the money in an escrow? And
both. We can do it both ways. The seller can do it prior to closing. We can put it in escrow. Most of the time, we want it worked out prior to closing. That's the preferred way. But you know what's interesting is that we hear all the time, oh, it's a 30-year architectural shingle. Roofs in Florida do not last 30 years. Our sun is too hot. So when they say, well, the roof should last 30 years, no. Insurance companies currently in 2020 really do not want to insure roofs over 16, 17, 18 years old. They consider that to be at the end of the life, and they know they're going to be replacing a roof, even one that's not leaking today.
But now what about things, if they don't see an active leak, how would you really be assured unless it's raining out? I mean, if somebody went in recently and painted and did all the stuff to get rid of the stains on the ceiling, how do they really know?
Well, that's a good question. A couple of ways we know. First of all, we look up permits to see when the roof was installed. The inspector would get in the attic and look for roof stains in the attic that might not be visible from the interior of the house. So there's a couple different ways. Shingles that are lifting, nails that are popping. There's a lot of different ways that they determine whether or not a roof. I would say my recommendation to buyers is if the roof is 15 years or older, they need to budget for a new roof because they're going to be putting on a new roof within the next couple of years. Can't say exactly when, but within the next couple of years.
Another thing that's big in Florida is pools. And does the inspector also inspect the pools? Is that a separate company?
They do inspect pools. You can always, the buyer can have as many inspections as they want. They're paying for them within their inspection period. And that's a great question. So oftentimes what will happen is the inspector might say, I inspected the pool, but I think you need further evaluation by a pool professional. And then that's when we would call a pool company to come out and further evaluate the pool pump or a possible leak or the cost.
He wouldn't know if it's leaking, being there for an hour or two.
No, but the pool pump might be leaking.
Right.
It might be running and leaking. So the inspector really is there to catch some big things like, and then say, you need further evaluation on this, this, and this.
So let's say the inspector says, okay, we have this problem. We have a little leak over here in the roof. Not sure about the pool pump. There's a problem there. So do you go, when you know, you've already had an offer and accepted, and this is their inspection period is after the offer has been accepted, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So now you go back to the table and say, okay, we didn't expect this, this, and this. We feel it's going to cost $3,000.
Well, we would get estimates, and so we would be as knowledgeable to the possible repair cost as we can be. And then it's all about renegotiation, baby. And that's a reason why you need a realtor and not do it yourself.
Right.
Because even after you have an accepted contract, during your inspection period, you can cancel, you can completely walk away, or you can renegotiate and get repairs done or get money from the seller to do things. I have had, talking about a couple of inspection nightmares that I can recall in the last few years, and I've been doing this for about 14 years, I remember once that the seller had said, oh, it was, the house was on septic, and the seller had told us that they had just recently had the pump or the tank pumped, showed us the receipt for that. And we called the company, confirmed, yes, they had been there. The inspector did his inspection and said, oh, everything seems fine. I don't know that I would spend any more money. But I live on a property that has a septic tank, and I know the things that can get flushed down the toilet that should not be, like flushable wipes. That's a no-go on septic.
Yeah, it sucks.
Feminine products. Male contraceptive products.
No need.
Grease, all the, those kinds of things. So anyway, I recommended to my buyer, I said, you don't have to, because I can never force someone to do a certain inspection. But I said, for $250, you have that peace of mind, and we know for sure. So long story short, we had a septic company that I do a lot of business with, and they came out and they found that only one of the tanks had been pumped, not both. And the tank that wasn't pumped was the solids tank, because I know you're so fascinated by this, but there's actually two types of tanks, one that holds solids and one that holds liquids. And it's the solids that was completely packed with baby flushable wipes. And had that buyer...
It's quite disgusting.
Well, it is. However, it's necessary.
I get it.
And no topic is...
That's a crappy job.
It's no topic is off the table here on my show. All things real estate. That's what we're talking, including talking...
Well, you are the real estate explorer.
I am. So, of course, I have been present for many of those septic inspections. Long story short, thank God the buyer did that inspection. And otherwise, I know for certain they would have had 20 people over for their first Thanksgiving in their brand new house, and the toilets would have overflown, and they would have called me during my Thanksgiving and said, Tora, there is poop coming up.
Or, you know, I remember, I've had to replace a drain field at my house, and it starts getting crappy out there in the yard.
It starts getting quite smelly.
Yeah.
Quite smelly.
So that is it's an issue. So I think that would be something very important. And, you know, it's quite expensive to redo a drain field.
It's so expensive. So in contrast to a $250 septic inspection that could save you thousands and thousands of dollars down the road. And that's the whole point of doing inspections, is you're going to pay now, so hopefully you don't pay later. So on my podcast, over the weeks, we are going to talk about things like credit, how to repair your credit, why it's so important to have your credit pulled before you start looking for a house. Disclosures. You know the number one question I get asked over the years?
Did somebody die in this house?
Yes.
Really? I just guessed it.
Or do you know if has anyone ever died in this house? Why is the seller moving? Why did they leave? What's wrong with this house? And that
are we buried on a burial ground of some sort?
No, they don't ask me that.
Pet cemetery?
But disclosures, open house tips, to permit or not to permit.
And you're going to have guests too.
Yes, I'm going to have guests. I'm going to have my lenders, my vendors, my inspectors, my insurance agents, and any experts that I can bring in and talk to you guys to educate you. Because, you know, we're selling real estate in a very awkward time right now during this whole COVID situation. And the whole point is real estate never stays the same, Lee. It's constantly changing, and that's why I love it so much. Every deal is different. Every year is different. And what we're dealing with now is going to be different than 6 months from now. And people want to know are prices going to drop and what's going to happen? And that's one of the reasons why I'm going to bring in one of my lenders, and he can talk to you about, you know, what they see coming with interest rates. And we'll talk about inventory.
Well, your point about questions that prices are going to drop, that's a valid question, because there are a lot of people losing their jobs. The economy is at a standstill temporarily. But the main thing is, what's going to bring prices down probably would be more supply and less demand, a combination of both. Because if you lost your job, chances are you can't get a loan.
Well, absolutely. But I think I think we're leveling off right now. We have half the buyers in the market right now than we had 3 months ago.
And that's because of job loss?
That's because whether they've lost their job or they're worried they're going to lose their job.
Or
exactly. But there it's that fear.
Right.
It's that fear that's going to prevent them from maybe, you know, getting started. But also, I feel that supply is going to stay, inventory is going to stay low, which also means if your house is decent and nice and priced appropriately, it's going to sell quickly, very quickly, because there's just not enough inventory out there, even for the reduced buyer pool that we have.
Okay, so let's say there's a new home buyer, because you work with a lot of relatively newer first or second time home buyers.
I do seminars for first time home buyers.
Okay. So they typically, and I know, and you know, our first house, we get in there with a shoestring budget. They get in there with barely enough money for the down payment, and with the way the inventory is, they're not buying typically at a great price, a house that's totally fixed up. So is there ways they can build things into their mortgage, buy a new house and say, hey, can we add another 20 grand to do with the kitchen or do?
They don't do that anymore. The only way you can do that is with a renovation loan. And that is a completely separate product.
That's not tacked onto their mortgage.
It is. It is. But it requires two appraisals. And that not every lender wants to do those type of renovation loans. I haven't actually done one myself in a long time. They do exist. But on very special, unique properties. It's not the norm.
Now going back to this economic environment, are underwritings for mortgages likely to change because of this? I would think that
they
mortgages
have.
Are probably a little skittish right now.
No, they already have changed. They've gone from verifying people's employment a couple of days prior to closing to now buyers are signing documents that they absolutely have a job at the table. And they're verifying that with their employer. So I think, yes, they are. I only want to work with buyers right now that what I call are recession proof. They work for a company that has not been affected by this pandemic and their job. And if you're W-2, even better. So, you know, people that are a little bit more recession proof are the more stable buyer right now. We don't know how this is really going to turn out, but I think people are going to be more cautious, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, and I hear people all the time saying, well, I want to wait till maybe get some foreclosures like an 08, 09, but I think the government's going to try and prevent foreclosures. I'm not sure how they can do it, because at some point the banks are going to say, you know what, enough's enough. We've given you this amount of time, and these forbearance things, you know, we talked to a mortgage guy the other day. It's a little bit disconcerting that if you think that you're going to skip 4 months and they're going to tack it on the end, some may not do that.
Right. And short sales and foreclosures have definitely declined in the last 5-8 years. We really haven't. I mean, we have them, but not like we did in like 2010. So I feel, yes, we are going to see an increase in short sales and foreclosures, not to the extent that we did before, but I do think we will see some.
And there's no guarantee the banks are going to give them away like they were
before.
They
don't. They don't give them away like they did before.
You're not getting the great deals anymore.
I have a short sale right now. We've been waiting 6 months and the first and the second can't agree. In the meantime, the house sits there with no power, a hole in the roof, vacant, could be vandalized, could go up in flames. Who knows? And the first and the second can't agree over a couple $1,000s. So they are not just giving them away. They're not. And it's okay that they want fair market value, but factor in the condition of the house. So buyers are so much more educated today. They're not going to overpay for something.
They great agents like you.
Well, I don't want them to overpay, but they have more technology. They have more information available.
Do they drive you crazy with Zillow?
I hate Zillow. Yes.
You do,
this
huh?
Just in, I might say that every show. I hate Zillow. Zillow is so inaccurate and the Zestimate is a joke. They use my pictures. This is going to be my little soapbox that I get on about don't go to Zillow for information. So anyway, over the next few weeks, I hope that you'll join me for my podcast, and I hope you learned something. I'll be talking all things real estate. I'm Dora, the Real Estate Explorer, coming to you from Central Florida.
And but you know, we're also going to be telling us some funny stories as well.
Appropriate funny stories.
No, I want the inappropriate funny stories.
And there's a few of those as well. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.